Valuetown is a production of ChamMV TV. Find out all show information and details at chamMV.tv. Valuetown is directly supported by listeners like yourself via patreon.com/valuetown. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 150 of Valuetown, our last episode of this year. I'm Chamman V, and today we've got Jackie and Allie back from traveling to Seat Story and a lot of other places. And then Sixo joining us, obviously, from Seat Story with a nice trophy and everything. Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Hello.
Doing
good.
Well.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody getting accustomed to being back home? We're still suffering from some jet lag.
Oh, serious jet lag still. I get like really tired at random points of the day, but it's fine.
Yeah, I didn't even believe jet lag was a thing until this last few weeks. Just kind of, you just find yourself falling asleep at like 4 p.m. or something. You're like, what?
Well, 6-0, you spent lots of time in China, so I'm sure you know what jet lag is, right?
Yeah, like I saw that the Asian sleep cycle, but I was at Seed Story since I was like in China a month before.
Yeah.
So I was kind of happy that I always got a seat into the first group. Like at Seed Story, they had like two groups per day playing, like one from like 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. and one like from 6 p.m. to midnight or whatever.
Yeah.
Then the most group stages, I got seated into the first group. So always I could like play my group, then go to bed at 6 p.m. No clue how it went if I had to like play at midnight.
So you probably worked out better for you then, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, but you went to your hotel to sleep, right? Because I didn't see any sleeping Sixos on camera ever. So, they should have made you sleep there, man. Then we could have got some sleeping streams there.
No, sleeping streams,
great. Hey, man, let's do well. No, but Seed Story, since all three of you guys are there, we might as well just like start talking about it. It looked like a fun event. I mean, it's a fun event every year. But, you know, I feel like this year, you know, the dynamic was a little bit different. You know, like, I think just the cast, you know, some people that are normally there weren't there. So, and so I think a lot of people's first times were this year, too. But, man, you guys look like you were having a blast there. And, I mean, it was a blast watching from home. But talk about it some. Like, how did you guys enjoy the event?
Who wants to start?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you start, Ali.
Okay, all right, I'll start. It was honestly so much fun because, you know, I don't really participate in tournaments very often. So the relaxed atmosphere actually, I feel like, I don't know, made me feel so much more like okay with the competition. Everyone was really chill. It's kind of just fun to, you know, meet up with people that you might have, you know, gotten to know online and then you never actually get to hang out with them. And and the venue is pretty cool too. It's got a pretty neat setup, and yeah, it was a fantastic time.
So it was Allie's first time. Jackie, this is your second or third one, right? Or
yeah, it was my fourth one.
Fourth one, wow.
Oh, wow.
And then Six says your 20th one, right?
20th.
Like, this is in his first rodeo.
Yeah. Four, Jackie, wow, that's crazy.
Seed Stories, I think it's my favorite event to go to. Mm-hmm. It's just such a different environment. Like, it's very super casual, and it's a lot more relaxed, and everyone can be... Mm-hmm. I think part of it is that the players can cast as well. That makes it quite interesting.
Oh,
you get kind
part.
Of different players like interacting with each other on like the casting couch and stuff, and who you don't normally see together. I think that's quite something that's interesting about Seed Story. It's just super fun, super casual. Everyone was having a great time. Like it's one of the tournaments where even if you get like I didn't do very well, unfortunately, but even though I got knocked out like fairly early on, I still had a great time.
Yeah,
exactly. It was good.
Well, 6-0, congrats on winning the whole thing. You actually did very, very well in the and
I feel like I kind of cheated. It was like the first time I didn't drink at Seed Story Cup.
You didn't
really? You didn't drink at all.
Yeah, like two beers overall.
Is that cheap? Normally part of the requirement?
The first group stage, I get wasted, and then like to about second group stage because I can't focus on the game.
Oh man, the gauntlet, the seat story gauntlet is finally revealed as to why it's so hard to win it. That's funny. But you know, with your decks, and you know, particularly Spiteful Summoner, obviously being a huge topic, especially when it came to your decks. I guess talk to us a little bit about that, just in general, your decks and what you were expecting kind of coming in, because this is the first, I would say, big tournament that we had, right, with the expansion, and or at least having some time
before.
Yeah, well, a little bit of time, right, with this expansion, so some metas developed some, but you know, Spiteful Summoner, we saw a pretty big change, you know, or at least it seemed like the coming out party for Spiteful Summoner this weekend. So what made you put those decks together?
Okay, so basically what happened is my flight got cancelled from China to Düsseldorf. So like when I got there, I was like super tired, like didn't sleep for like 2 days because of like all the canceled flights and canceled trains. Uh-huh. So I just like fell asleep when I got to the hotel, woke up, realized I had like 2 hours left for the next submission. And since our tournament in China was the old expansion, I had like no reason to play any expansion, so I didn't play any games of like the new expansion.
Oh my god.
I remember like at the airport I saw like a list from Freshka. It's like a hunter list with Spiteful Summoner and Call of the Wild.
Right. Good old Freshka.
And I saw like someone be like Max 3 Legend with a normal hunter list without that. Like without the Call of the Wild package. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I just like kind of mixed those lists together. I played some ladder and like went on a win streak from like rank 10 to 8 with it.
That's not even that far.
Like, solid.
Like 4 games, dude.
Deck's good.
And right, yeah, some decks. Right. I had only one deck, so I just figured I will just like make all my decks like that. And yeah, oh, ended up just like committing like 4 other decks without trying them.
Wow, okay. That's some good instinct
solid,
right there,
yeah,
dude.
Solid preparation there.
I feel like that happened a few times, like because like Jackie and I were traveling with Ant, and Ant was like, "Yeah, I just had Dr. J give me some decks because like I haven't really played much, you know." So I sort of was like, I don't know, last minute for everyone, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, even me and Ali, like we managed to somehow get internet on the plane, and we were like playing on the plane and like submitted while we're on the plane from Australia.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody over there in Australia for the Invitational definitely didn't get, I think you guys were like removed from the ladder meta for that time
we were
over there. So yeah, that's kind of funny. But let me bring up those decks that you were talking about. Just, you know, Spiteful Summoner. And then we got the Priest and the Hunter, given that, you know, they seem to be the most conducive in terms of being able to build decks without or cheap spells, right? And, you know, who knew Priest could actually be built without cheap spells. I mean, Hunter, yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, I can see that. But Priest ended up being a crazy powerful one for you.
I mean, the new 4-mana Duskbreaker, whatever it's called, is basically a spell.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Makes up for the Dragonfire.
So the Spiteful Summoner is guaranteed a 10 drop every time you play it in the Priest deck. The free from Amber too. Yeah.
But 8 drops are better than 10 drops anyway.
Yeah, good point. So, overall, I felt like this had a huge impact on your games. And I mean, the kind of pressure it put on some of the control decks, I think it ended up being just game winning. I mean, one of the biggest deciders. I guess talk to me that. What did you discover even just playing against, you know, other pros with their, you know, meta decks that ended up being the power of these decks?
I mean, I knew that like most people went into the seed story banning Priest. So that like not a really fine decks, just like decks I expect to be decent, but like no real strategy in the decks. And I feel like against decks that are not like meant to OTK you or whatever, you just like have a super high power level in the Priest and just grind them out. So right. Yeah, with the Warlock ban, I feel like the Priest didn't really have bad matchups since very few people had like Quest Mage or whatever to beat it.
Okay, yeah. Jackie and Allie, what did you guys think when you saw these decks? I mean, did you think it was a meme deck? Like, seriously, like the first time you saw this deck, you're like, oh man, this is like Jackie deck.
Jackie,
this is like Jackie
level.
The first
time you saw the Hunter?
Yeah.
First time I saw the Hunter, I got crushed 3-0 with it. I was like, Jesus.
That was hilarious.
The priest deck, I actually saw someone post it, like literally the day before I submitted my decks, I saw someone post on Twitter and I didn't actually play the deck. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this looks like a meme. I'll try this out in a bit. But I wasn't expecting people to bring it to the tournament because when I saw people playing it, it was so close to the deadline.
Yeah.
But then that was like the Spiteful Summoner was such a common theme in your lineup, man. It was something that I hadn't even tried out yet and just crushed it.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily thought it was a meme. I feel like Priest curves out well, you know? It's always kind of been able to curve out well, so...
Yeah.
I guess it's a little unusual, you know, that it can survive so well without pains and deaths and dragon fires and everything. But I'm not really surprised. But as Sixto said earlier, just the Dustbreaker's OP, you know, the card's ridiculous. So I don't know. I think it actually works really well. I was playing this deck today on ladder, and it was going pretty well for the most part.
Yeah, you know, It's funny because like this is the type of deck or one of the few decks, and we see maybe like a few of them each expansion, but yeah, and we see them typically have a lot of viability in the beginning of expansions. But I mean, I love this because it's totally a deck building thing, right? Like you have to alter your deck based, you know, to get that power play, which is the Spiteful Summoner in this case. And
I don't think that's a good thing, though. I think it makes.
I mean,
you, like,
it ends up not being a good thing.
Play a bunch of cards in your deck that are like meant to, like, you just don't draw them. It's like similar to patches. Like cards work in your deck because it's synergized with cards you draw, but like you don't never want to draw them. So it's just like you add like power level to some cards of your deck, and it's just like adds more randomness to the game because like it's just like the cards don't do different things, but just like some cards are better than other cards. Mm-hmm. So I feel most games get decided by draw.
At the same time, it's kind of bringing cards into play that normally don't get played, which I think is a good thing. Like, no one plays Mind Control. So to actually see that in a deck, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that the drawback for doing it in these decks are probably not big enough, you know, for it to be, you know, just crazy bad, or at least later in the expansion, having that actually be a decision for folks. Like you said, if it's just good all the time, then it just becomes patches, right? So, and that can lead to a bad meta. But I do like the fact that, you know, this deck building exercise, you came up with this deck, right? And all of a sudden this deck is powerful and you know, what's
just net deck the priest.
you net deck the priest, so somebody came up with it, which was pretty cool. And what's funny is that even though you net decked it, like, I do want to show you like what before Seat Story, looking on like Aces replays on that, if you actually see what the Discover looked like before, this is what it looked like in terms of priest. All right, before Seat Story, and there's no like Spiteful Summoner anywhere on here, like Spiteful Summoner's priest. But if you actually take a look at like this week or even today, you'll notice that like look at this cluster. This blue cluster is Spiteful Summoner priest.
Wow.
So look at how big a difference or the impact that.
Wait, what? I don't understand.
Yeah. Okay. So, if you've never seen this,
it's like a bad drawing.
Yeah. So in HSReplay.net has this kind of meta like deck clustering type of thing that they show. So they show like what's popular, and it's what's represented by these colors and the different types of deck. And so this is today. So you can see that a huge portion of the priests that are being played are the Spiteful Summoner ones.
Oh, right? So these are different priest decks.
Yeah,
oh,
I see.
The blue is the Summoner priest, and red is big priest. Oh,
right,
I get it.
Right. And if you look at a week ago, this is what it looked like, where, I mean, ignore the colors. Basically, there was no color that was Spiteful Summoner Priest. So there was no such thing as it last week, basically. Yeah, that just shows you the impact of 6-0 and C-Suite. Sorry.
I feel like I'm looking at a microscope of priest decks microscope.
This is like looking at Ebola, you know, the Ebola decks in a different way now. I felt like
Jackie said, the deck was just like posted the day before Seed Story, so even if I didn't play it, might have gotten popularized, like it might have been my impact.
And that's how big of a thing net decking is though, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we all know that. That's not a secret at this point.
And net decking became so much easier since like Ahiron started to do the Tudor thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one thing that we talked about a little bit last week, and I think just people generally refer to it in the community right now, is that one of the biggest themes of this expansion is just mana cheating, right? Like just getting cards out for, you know, like basically well before that they should get out, or at least in terms of if you look at them individually. And this is a case of that, right? Like we're basically getting a 10 mana or an 8 mana card on top of the Spiteful Summoner's body right now at 6. So it's, of course, it's a powerful turn. And we see that with Q block, you know, with the lackey and also the weapon. And, you know, we just see it across the board. Druid, everything, right?
So true, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, it's like easy to have big tempo swings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are y'all's thoughts on this? I mean, is this dangerous? Is it okay if a lot of classes, I guess, can do it? Is that okay? Like, what do you think?
One thing that I think is good about it is that it makes kind of mid-range to aggressive decks better against stuff like Jade Druid. Because something like Mid-Range Hunter or something like that is just not... Before this expansion, wasn't good enough to compete with Jade Druid because the Jade gets too much time and gets the Jade going. Right. Whereas now Hunter can do things like play a Corridor Creeper early or play the Spiteful Summoner, and that's kind of too much pressure for a deck, like a slow mid-range deck to handle. It also makes cards like Twisted Nether is really popular now because people are just doing these insane things, and so things like Twisted Nether. Also, you've got Psychic Scream is insane. In Mage, you've got Dragon's Fury. So it makes these massive removal effects more powerful, I think.
In general, like, this expansion is like a super high power level. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, since Next Ramas, there wasn't any expansion with like a similar power level. It's kind of weird that they do the end of the expansion, because like now every expansion for like the next year has to compete with this one. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure they either have to like go for some super high power creep or nerf some cards, I think.
Yeah, because we're going to lose some cards. Yeah. We're going to lose some cards in April or whatever, right? But I don't see any of those like, cards lose, we're like, losing here.
Yeah, like you don't. Warlock doesn't really lose anything, for example. Like the control Warlock, so it's like every deck that comes out now has to compete with control Warlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Priest would get hit pretty hard with losing Operative and some of the dragons. But yeah, Warlock is in good shape. Allie, you're gonna say something?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out how much of an issue I think it is. Like, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with the next expansion, because it, Corridor Creeper's neutral, Spiteful Summoner's neutral. So it feels like a lot of different classes can keep up. You know, it's not like one dominating class that's cheating the curve and it's OP. So I feel like it's not an issue right now, because everybody, well, not every class, I suppose, but most classes got something powerful. But with the introduction of new cards in next expansion, I'm not sure how that's gonna go down.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get too... I think we're kind of diving into meta right now. I definitely do want to kind of close out the whole seed story talk and just give a shout out to just the casters. And I mean, the UK group is... they are so hilarious to listen to. Like, I literally found myself just laughing. I just out loud most of the time. Six is just rearranging the house now. But
Six is just doing the dishes in the background.
Doing the dishes in the background. No, but I really appreciated like a lot of the banter that they were having. What is that?
It's so heavy.
It's a trophy.
Oh, is that that? Oh yeah, it's nice. Like, oh, it's like a Monopoly house. It's like amazing.
Yeah. But it's like pretty sick.
Is it metal or is it stone?
Yeah, it's metal, but it's like...
Yeah, got it.
But yeah, it's like 5 kilos or whatever. Pretty heavy for a trophy.
Good stuff. But yeah, so overall, you know, like I think that it was, you know, a lot of the fun had to do with just the casting and just that ambiance that they had now too. I feel like everybody's just in a comfortable spot now. Like everybody knows when to just goof off during a game and then when to kind of come back to... the actual, you know, kind of real casting, you know, to talk about some cool stuff. And it just really, really shows up during Seat Story, you know, whenever they're doing that cast.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it looked like we were having as much fun as we actually were, you know, because I wanted that to translate well, which it seems like it did.
Yeah. So you guys had a lot of, like, F2K had how many people there? Was it 4 people?
Yeah, yeah, so like for the last 3, it's just been me. And then this time it was me, Ali, Senfglass, Nicolina. Yeah. So, and I've met Ali before, but I'd never met Senf or Nicolina before. So it was really good. We had a whole gang going.
Yeah, exactly. Representing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm speaking of Nicolina, I remember that Tice play on Nicolina. That was when I messaged you, Allie, when I was like, what? What is Draconid off? Is Draconid Enchanter actually something? No, or not Draconid. Oh. Drakari. Drakari Enchanter actually something? Oh my god, that was that's incredible.
One of those Tides v Nicolina games was literally one of the most insane games I've ever seen. Was it like Priest against Warlock or something? It was.
It was
ridiculous.
We were watching that game together, and we just were dying.
He plays the 9-drop and 5 cards come down. Not bad. And he just wins the game instantly. It's
and there was another bit where he had like Lyra and then he had a full hand full of spells. And so he was just overdrawing every single turn and there was nothing he could do about it.
I've been in that position many times where I'm drawing 2 at a time and I'm like, crap, man, this sucks. Yeah, so anyways, a lot of fun things for sure. What are the biggest highlights off camera? Anything happened that was like, there's always something that happens that people, will always talk about that was, none of us at home actually got a chance to see.
Some people drank too much.
that happens every seed story. That's nothing new.
That's
Ali.
Whoa! Excuse me, Mom Straza came out. I was taking care of some people. No. Ah, gosh, something that happened off screen.
If not, it's all good. That just means the camera crew captured everything, which is awesome.
Clearly.
They do pretty much. They capture pretty much everything. They kind of go around the whole event, like, with the cameras. And so even if you're, like, at the bar or in the background, they'll probably just capture at some point doing something.
Yeah.
And then they get you together to do all these little mini games, which are quite fun.
Those are always a lot.
There was one game I fell in love with called like Leaping Louie or something, where you have to
that was amazing.
Knocking this plane up and knock everyone else's coins out of their little slot, and it's really, really super competitive. That was funny.
Oh, everyone got really into that.
Really? I saw the one where it was like spin, like kind of like, you know, it kind of goes around in a circle, you know, like to each.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That
was awesome. I didn't see the
that was great.
One. Yeah.
It's that one.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Played some DDR.
DDR, nice.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot.
They've got the real machine there, right? Like,
unfortunately. I mean, they've got a machine, but it's not an actual Dance Dance Revolution machine. It's like a spin-off DDR, but there is a real machine there.
Yeah, cool. Well, anyways, kudos to Dennis and all the crew that makes that event happen. It's still definitely a treasure in our community, and it just continues to... really live up to expectations. So awesome job over there. But anyways, kind of getting back to meta again. We did talk about Q-Block last week, and I figure we would talk, maybe mention it again this week, given that there was a little bit of an innovation from last week, which was, we're starting to see the Giants and the Faceless Summer, right? So, Faceless Manipulator. So this is the one that we're looking at now. What they removed was like a lot of the removal. Twisting Nether, Siphon, the Zealot, and I think Thalnos too. So they replaced it with the two Faceless and the Mountain Giants. What do you guys think? You guys got
and
a chance
Prince.
To play it at
all?
Yeah, Prince has been in there. I think Prince has been in there.
Yeah, I think this is a tight game. I think everyone plays Enzot now again.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
People are trying to outgreen each other, but then they realize Enzot is just better for that.
Nazoth? Or
People played that list, and there's some people playing the Giants, but I feel like Giants went back a lot to last days again. Mm-hmm. Now it's just Nazoth.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I definitely played a good share of Nazoth, too, and I know in the mirrors it performed really, really well, like crazy good. But I played quite a bit of this, too, and I had a lot of success, at least earlier this week. Maybe it's changed in the last day or so. But, the Giants just, I don't know, it just seemed to make sense. I always have 10 cards when I'm playing this deck. It's like in the very beginning, the first 5-6 turns, I'm just like sitting on 9-10 cards all the time.
Yeah, the Giants definitely make it better against like control because you can apply more pressure early on. Also, the Shambling.
Is, besides
you can use it on
wall.
Giant, or you can like pull out a Void Lord with your weapon and then use the Shambler on that. But then Nazoth does a pretty similar thing while leaving you more slots in the deck to play like Nether and more removal and stuff. So.
Yeah. Cool.
I definitely like the Faceless Manipulator. I've always thought that was a great card in Control Warlock. I haven't tried the Giants version, so I'm not sure, but I feel like it... I guess it depends on how aggressive the meta is, right? Like, if you're running into a bunch of aggro, I would think it's just too slow, and then Nuzlocke would be better, but...
So,
yeah,
I was watching Yogcast, right? I don't know if you guys watched that, where like Raven was on there, and I think Raven, Sottle, Frodan, and Trump, and Savitz was on there. And anyways, at one point, Trump said that Q-Block was the most powerful deck that's ever been in Hearthstone.
Wow.
Trump says a lot of dumb stuff.
Oh man.
Whoa, shots fired.
Boy, is that a slogan in US right now, but it's not usually that Trump.
Yeah, he gave Corridor Creeper a 1 out of 5 stars.
That's true.
But did he really give it a 1?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. That's very, very true.
Wow.
So I'm guessing that's not the case in y'all's minds then. I mean, does anything beat the Undertaker, the Undertaker decks back in the day? I mean, those were, I still think, the most powerful decks.
I mean, Undertaker Hunter, Patron.
Midrange.
Yeah, Sixo, what's your, I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I mean, I don't think it's that far off. Like, I don't know, like, Patron Warrior was, like, super good, but at the time of Patron Warrior... the power level was very low. Like, if you just compare absolute power level, that might be better than Patron Warrior. It's just that Patron Warrior was better at that time, because at that time, there were, like, no good decks.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not about absolute.
If you find it, like, pure power level, power level, then this might be the best deck. Like, I don't think it's far off. Maybe Undertaker Hunter's a better, but might be second.
Okay, so you think, I mean, not only do you think it's, you know, one of the best decks now, but do you think it measures up?
I mean, I think that. Right now, it's like one of the highest power levels Hearthstone has had, like Hearthstone decks. So, I feel like at its time, Patron Warrior was better than this is right now, but an actual power level, this is probably better.
Well, it's nice to know that even with this high power level, it's still beatable. Because, you know, Malagus, I feel like Malagus Druid and some of the others, even Raza Priest, right? Raza Priest is a good matchup against this too, I believe.
Yeah.
So they can still farm this deck.
That's another matchup where the Giants helps there.
Yeah,
the Giants are good against Priest.
Yeah, they can't. They don't have Anduin, or if they just they just like land one and then Faceless and just pop you down. That's kind of pretty crazy. Okay, well, another thing too that we saw with let me see. I kind of wanted to bring. I've just been exploring HS replays recently. I don't know if you guys use it or not, but one thing that they showed too is just that Paladin is super powerful. I mean, just super popular and super powerful right now. And when
it's like by far the highest win rate deck. It's like
I think it's like,
oh really?
It's like at like 55% win rate, and the second deck is at like 52%. It's
check this out.
So the Murloc Paladin version.
No, just Echo Paladin without Murlocs.
Just aggro. Okay.
Just aggro. So if you
that's kind of crazy though, because it gets crushed by Warlock, right? Shouldn't Warlock just crush it? You just draw the file and you win the game on the spot.
Yeah. So
Warlock?
I mean, according to stats, it's like 51 for Warlock or so. It's like very close according to the stats.
Yeah, so if you actually look at, I mean, this is Faceless Summoner, obviously, but if you just look at, I think if you just look at raw, like aggro pally, look at that. 60%, hey. Man, it's crazy.
And the easy way to do it is just to go on Vicious Syndicate on the live report.
Yeah, that's it.
Data Reaper.
Yeah, both of them.
It's like
look at
55%
that.
55% win rate, Echo Paladin, and it's like, Echo Warlock is slightly favored according to stats, but it's like basically 50-50.
Yeah, so look at these top decks. These are the top decks in the last, like the last 24 hours. They're
a lot of Echo Paladin.
Yeah, it's like all Paladin except for Q-Block and then Highlander Breeze. So it's actually insane, like really, really crazy right now. And if we're going to talk about one of them, I kind of brought the one that, I mean, at least we can just kind of base it off that. It's the Call to Arms one that you brought to Seed Story 6.0, but it might be a little out of date, you know, compared to some of the other things that are running.
Yeah, this was like the Paladin that Team Null brought to Trinity.
Yeah.
And during Seed Story, like during the first day of Seed Story, someone got number one legend with the deck, so at that time it was good. But yeah, now it basically all switched to non-Murloc Echo Paladin.
Mm.
Yeah, it looks...
Call to Arms is just such a good card.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
It really is, right? Like, I mean, when you can summon three minions, I mean, I think anything is pretty good that you can call those, especially things that have like Divine Shield and things on it, right? What do you think about? So this is like one of the decks that we been looking at, and we talked about this last week. The one with Knife Juggler, and I think Just Saying was saying that he didn't like the one with Knife Juggler. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, 6-0, or Jackie or Alan.
I mean, I've played some of it around today. And like Knife Juggler is a very bad card to draw, but it's like the best card to get off Call to Arms.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like just in the action that like with Call to Arms, if you get the Knife Juggler as a left minion, you already get two knives instantly. So it's very powerful of Call to Arms, but I understand that it's bad to draw, so we just have to see.
Okay.
I think that the two mana, the three mana weapon, the 2/2, the new one that gets a effect on your hand.
Yeah.
It's kind of fake news. I don't think that's going to stick around very long.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's like Divine Shield is obviously OP, but everything else is kind of meh.
Okay. All right. Oh, what's your take, Jackie? Like...
Yeah, I mean, I think this version is pretty kind of like all out. Like this.
You
like,
think?
I think like the Murloc.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like if you have the Murlocs, you have like a slightly slower curve and you can kind of keep going for a bit longer. Like this is the type of deck where if the Warlock say draws Defile, you can just be out of stuff if you don't have Divine Favor. But against things like Mage, for example, I think this deck's definitely much better. Like Mage, the Secret Mage is a really popular deck on ladder at the moment.
That's true.
This deck's really good against that. So I haven't actually played much Aggro Paladin. I played it very briefly, but yeah, I'm not sure which version I prefer yet.
Yes, I'm gonna agree. Yeah, speaking of the Mage, any of you guys play the Mage?
No,
yeah.
I played quite a bit of mage.
Yeah, dude, I don't have a do I have a deck? I don't think I have a deck with the show with the mage yet.
It's pretty straightforward. It's I feel like most people are running very similar lists. There's some debate about like ice blocks, how many do you play? I'm kind of in the boat of just running one, but I don't know. Maybe it is correct to play two. I think Orange played two in his Seat Story deck, and it actually like won him the game against who was he playing against? Tyler. He needed to draw his last ice block so he could pyroblast him the following turn, and it actually won him the game. So it was good.
Man, I don't know how many times Explosive Runes just like surprised me.
It's such an amazing card.
Like, it's like, okay, it's triggering. Oh, okay, it's mirror end. Whoa. Like, that sucked. I took damage to the face that I definitely did not need to take to the face. So, it definitely takes a few games to actually play against it for you to really catch on to exactly how to play around it. But super powerful. All those tempo decks, you know, they seem to be the place to be right now. I think a lot of people worried that control would be the default type of archetype from the get-go. But now we're starting to see a pretty good mix. Like, we had a control wave, and then now we're seeing, like, crazy tempo wave, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're still control Warlock and, like, combo Priest. I think the Mage is, like, a very bad deck. Like, that was one of the highest win percentage decks, like, the first days. The first people didn't play the, what's the card called? The Warlock spell, one mana, kill a minion, heal for 8.
Oh, yeah, the Dark Pact.
Yeah, but we didn't play that, so like it was fine against Warlock like the first couple of days. But now that the lists are more refined, I think like Mage might be a bit favored against Priest, but there's like no other favored matchup.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like I think all the other Aggro decks just like out-tempo it and Warlock outlasts it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if you don't have a Mana Worm into it 2/3, it's so hard to come back on board sometimes. Like you can't recover with the tempo Mage deck, I feel like.
Yeah. It's the type of deck that can just like completely not draw. You get like Mana Worm into Archaeologist into Kirin Tormund Secret, and then you just win those games. But
I think even those games you can lose. Like, I think even those games, like, the power level of Mage is just really low.
There's... I feel like even the games that you win, like, you just barely win. You know what I mean? Like, I don't... I haven't had any, like, blowout losses against this deck. I don't know if you guys have experienced it or not, and it just kind of makes me think that there's just, you know, not enough like damage potential, you know, for it to give you a large winning percentage.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing about Mage is the amount of burn it has. Like, no other class can really compete with, other than, like, Razakus Priest and all the hero power, etc. But Mage just has such strong burn that I think it will definitely still be able to exploit certain decks. Mm-hmm. But,
which deck?
Someone that doesn't have heal.
And, like, what deck does not heal and not our tempo Mage? Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
It used to be Rogue, right? Like, Tempo Mage used to have a pretty good matchup against Rogue, but now it feels like I don't win.
I feel like just Patches beats Mage.
Yeah.
Everything.
It does.
It's a pretty good card. Like, if you just kept,
I mean, the thing about Mage is, I think Counterspell is huge. Like, if you're against a control deck and you draw Counterspell and the control deck is relying on the Hellfire Clear or mm-hmm. something like that, like, that can just win you the game on its own.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely the control killer, like, or well, kind of, sort of. Sometimes it's the control killer, but it's not consistent enough.
Would be good against control if Cabal Lucky wasn't a card, but like,
yeah,
Cabal Lucky just blows that deck out.
Yeah,
and the dark pack's so good for 8 health.
Yeah, Cabal Lucky. I mean, just that deck is so synergized. There's so many things that synergize with each other, and it's pretty tough to play against it because there's some kind of crazy value play that they're going to have a large percentage of the time. So one card, I guess, I know everybody at home can't really see this, but you know, one big card that's in this kind of Mage is Alunith, right? Like the actual weapon. And obviously it's good. You know, obviously drawing 3 cards, I mean, it's amazing in terms of like keeping pressure and that sort of thing. Do you try to play it on 6, or do you guys find yourselves, if you do play play this deck or play against it, or is it actually played a little bit later?
It's harder. I feel like want to play it on 6, like, unless you have an amazing clear tempo swing, like drop a Corridor Creeper, like with all this other stuff. I feel like you generally want to just take the turn, you know, and play it, because for the rest of the game you're gonna, it's going to put you in so much better of a position. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I think if you've got a good play, like, because you generally have an aggressive start in the Mage, if you've got a good play to keep applying pressure, you do make that. And then I would usually generally use the weapon when I don't have a good play to make, when I'm almost out of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then just use that to carry on, find a burn to finish the game.
All right. Well, I think any other big meta decks that you guys can think of that we haven't covered that's going on right now? Any?
Big Priest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Big Priest still a thing?
Yes. Yes, Big Priest.
It's still a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that deck.
that deck's always going to be infuriating to people. But you know, nowadays, you know, even with... nowadays, I feel like it's still good, but, you know, everything else has, like, again, mana cheat, right? So it doesn't feel quite as bad, but you know, you still have the ability to bring back those statues, man. Those obsidian statues are just like, ugh, killer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Big Priest.
I mean, Stone has been huge for that deck.
Wait, go ahead. Big Priest plays divine. Does the Big Priest that's being played a lot have Divine Spirit and Inner Fire in it at all, or no? It's just like straight big.
No.
Okay.
No,
yeah. It's just straight big. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, but like with the new keyword recruit, basically every deck is Big Priest now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That is definitely true. Well, all right. Well, we'll see how the meta kind of. Jackie, you wanted to.
Yeah, I was just going to say Mali Quest Druid. I've been playing a ton of that the last few days. Really good against the slower decks, like the Warlocks and the Priests. I'm actually surprised at how good it is. Like, especially, I love the Druid weapon. The twig from whatever.
Oh, really?
It's called.
Okay.
Yeah, that can just crush people. Because you can have like 30 mana turns sometimes if you have it with Kuhn as well. Like, I had a turn earlier when I was like, the guy was on 30 health. I was on like 5 or something. And I just like, I had my twig set up. I had my Malagos in hand. I nourished into like a 0 mana Kuhn and then just used 30 mana and just killed him from 30. Like, it was great.
Oh my god.
That can do disgusting things. Yeah.
You pro twig or not pro twig 6-0? Because Dog was making an argument not to play twig at one point, I think.
Oh, and no, I think the weapon is just good.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's extra mana. It's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I suppose like the innovate to like get out early. I'm not sure. I didn't play Slow Druid myself yet. But that web meta like has like so many restrictions. Like they can't print cards like, what is that? Oh my god, I forgot the card. Which the one? Five mana blinked one, right? Like they can't print cards like that anymore. That because you just like can destroy your weapon within five, it would be like totally broken.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah,
it's like Medivh kind of does the same. So we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
want to reference for next year now.
Yeah, for sure. No, I with that deck, I've definitely felt the double Malagus many, many times. I've gotten double Malagus a lot playing against that deck. So it's just like, okay, well, that was fun. That was really, really quick and dirty. doing 14 stunt swipes, and 11 to everything else on the deck is on the board is pretty dirty. But that deck I think is great too in the meta. Like these decks, like I don't see them going away. Like these decks are just good, so it'll be interesting to see how it shifts from there. Okay, well, anyways, that's kind of meta going on right now. It's a pretty exciting time, so definitely go out, check that out, maybe play some of the decks that we've talked about. I guess right now I just want to give a shout out to just some of the patrons that have been supporting the show. Since this is like the last one of the year, I just wanted to generally give a shout out to all the patrons and not really, singling out any of them. Thanks so much for doing that and, making the show happen this year. It was like a year ago that we talked about, just possibly stopping the show depending on just the support for it. So you guys made it happen this year and I really appreciate that. And we're going to be doing a giveaway for packs and maybe two pack bundles for patrons that are in the $2 and up range, just because the $2 level is the one that, qualifies people for giveaways. So definitely, I kind of want to get folks to message us if you're interested in doing the giveaways, because the last thing I want to do is do a giveaway and then nobody gets it and, trying to find it to some folks. So definitely message us, see if you want to participate in the giveaway, and then we'll do the giveaway in a few days. And then we'll, get some, pack bundles over to folks that I've been supporting the show. And now that we can do that in the game, it's really, really nice. Now that we can gift stuff to people, it's like really, really cool. So excited to be able to get a chance to do that. 2017, so this is the last one. So why don't we talk about just the year in review? Like we've had, I guess four expansions of which we've played, throughout the entire season. We, maybe 1 month into Mean Streets. What's y'all's favorite expansion of the year? Out of all four, yeah. What do you guys think? Just anybody, just jump in. Whenever you got one.
Oh man.
Good.
I mean, we can all agree that Mean Streets was the worst expansion ever printed. To it.
Yeah. Well, I just think so. They go the opposite direction.
Explain why. You gotta explain why.
I mean, Patches, Finja, Kazakos, like they were all in.
Yeah, it's the power level was too high. The expansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I give you that one. I give you that.
I actually really liked Unguru.
Yeah, I think
a lot of the kind of adaptation things like Crackling Razemore and that type of thing, I think were good additions to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just like dinosaurs, really.
Dino, yes. But do you like Dinomite? for me, I think Un'Goro had the most impact on the game. Like it was just, the first time that we actually saw these cards that were, almost like alternate objectives, and it really, really changed how people built decks. I mean, I think we saw the biggest radical change in people building decks in Un'Goro. So, I would say that, and I would say Kobolds and Catapults is like a second, a consolation one right now. I mean, it's hard to say because we only had 1 month. But I say just even the dungeon runs by itself, like actually elevates Kobolds.
That's
super
good
high thing. Yeah, sure. Literally on the backs of dungeon runs right now. It's second and possibly first by the end of the year. Who knows?
The fact that so many people had a good time playing the dungeon run is really cool. Really cool for Hearthstone.
Oh, I've got my favorite moment from behind the scenes of Seed Story. Okay. It was Pavel. Pavel playing the dungeon run, and he picked the spell, the 10 mana Pyroblast spell,
oh.
And keeps blasting Pyroblast until someone dies. And I don't know why he picked it, but he picked it, and he was like, he was in like a terrible position, and he decided to play it, and he was just going crazy as the Pyroblasts were going off, and then about 4 in a row hit him in the face, and he was about to lose, and then 5 in a row hit his opponent.
What?
And he ended up
winning. And
yeah, it was crazy,
oh
man.
My God.
I got it on video as well. I need to put that up somewhere.
You should tweet that.
No, there's definitely been some amazing moments on stream with that card. We talked about one last week. It was like similar to that, where it was just like, actually, the person that cast it was way ahead, and then the last 4 hit him in the face, and he lost. So it was really, really bad. Sixo, your favorite?
I mean, I'm not sure about a favorite. Probably also Ungoba, but I think it's nice they printed the Paladin Death Knight in Frozen Throne. It's like the first time they have printed an alternate win condition. Like, Hearthstone didn't have any other way of winning besides killing your opponent before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, getting to 0 HP. So I feel like that's, like, interesting and good that they're not against that. I think, obviously, the OTK and, or like, the kill with the Horseman never happens. But now it's in the game, and now we'll see if they put other alternate win conditions in the next expansions that might actually happen in real games.
Yeah, that was a good point. I mean, like, you know, I was saying with Journey, with the quest, I mean, those weren't actually win you the game, literally, if you have finished the quest. Those would just help you win the games. Yeah, with the Death Knight, that actually does win you the game, which is amazing. Frozen Throne was solid, too. Like, there's you know, I don't have, like, big complaints about Frozen Throne, either. It's just, this is a good year, you know, I think for Hearthstone.
It was a good year.
Yeah, just in terms of the favorite ones. So, Ali, yours was Ungoro, too, or which one was yours?
I mean, to be honest, I really did enjoy the Death Knights. The only downside and the complaint there was that, you know, it was just the expense of, you know, having to get the Death Knight. I think that was some of the issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of it. Yeah, exactly. But my favorite, well, I don't want to jump the gun here, but my favorite card from the year was Frostlich Jaina. Honestly, I just love that card so much.
Yeah,
so I might have to say Knights of the Frozen Throne is my favorite, because my favorite card came from that, I would say.
You know, to be honest, if Raza Priest didn't exist, I think Knights of the Frozen Throne would have been higher on my list. It's just that one exploit, you know, like that
and
one Death Knight that caused an exploit. Yeah, really, I think hurt how at least my perception of it. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, obviously Raza Priest is very viable. Like, it's an important piece of the meta right now. It's just, you know, like, it just became almost a bit, it got to that almost oppressive level, and it's just like, I don't like it when Hearthstone's in that kind of state. So it was a hard deck to play too, so it wasn't like it was easy, but okay, so favorite card, that's kind of the next thing we were going to talk about, which was
Segway.
Frost with Jaina. That's Allie's. Anybody else? Like, which favorite card, or which card was your favorite this year?
One of my favorites, it was actually Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, but I loved Finja.
Pictures.
Patches!
You would say Patches, yes. Six, so.
Yes.
God damn Patches.
Okay.
Jackie, which one did you say? Finja.
Yeah, I really love Finja, because when it first came out, it was like Murloc Paladin was still a thing. The kind of the OTK, anything can happen Paladin. And Finja just made that deck even better. And that was one of my favorite times to play Hearthstone, just playing anything can happen Paladin with Finja. It was, I don't know what it was, but something about the deck just, it was one of my favorite decks to play of all time, so.
Yeah.
That was also one of my favorite decks to play of all time. With Old Murkai. Oh, so great.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I didn't actually play it that much until Old Murkai was kind of, like, removed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that deck was great.
Yeah. 6-0, you have a fun card. I mean, you've named yourself, like, 10 cards, like, between now and then, say, on Twitter, so I'm just wondering which of those 10 cards is actually your favorite, or they're just pure memes? I'm trying to think of mine. I'm trying to stall, actually.
I guess, like, design-wise, probably the Paladin Death Knight, as I said already.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, they have nothing else, I don't think. Like, the good cards are just too oppressive, so can't really vote for those.
Yeah. You don't like Ultimate Infestation? That's not your favorite card at all?
Okay, wait, that was from Knights of the Frozen Throne, right?
Yes, yeah. That was from Knights. That's a ding. Oh. That's actually a minus towards that actual expansion.
Spreading Plague, God. Too.
Yeah.
5 minutes Spreading Plague?
5 minutes? I totally forgot it cost 5 mana. Holy crap.
I know. Oh, yeah. God. That's actually insane.
Remember Innovate?
Remember Innervate? Wow, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it's going to take like at least a year for me to forget Innervate, given that we've had it for like 4 years.
You know? Yeah.
So for me, man, I'll throw out Sunkeeper Terra. How about that? Yeah, I think I actually like Sunkeeper a lot. Just I think that it's, you know, it's just well designed. It's got nice power. It dictates, you know, some of Paladin's control and tempo type of decks. So well designed, and you know, it's something that you know, was definitely brand new this year. Okay.
Another one I loved was Wicker Flame Burn Bristle sticking on the Paladin legendary. Paladin's got such great legendaries. But they kind of released it when, like, Pirate Warrior was super insane. Mm-hmm. And the card was so good against Pirate Warrior. It was just, oh, it was fantastic. You just draw against Pirate Warrior and it'd feel like it would just win you the game.
Okay. Yeah. Which class do you think got crapped on the most this year? I'm just adding one now.
Warrior.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Warrior was good for a lot of the year.
But did they really new stuff, though? Like to Ali's point, right? Was there actually new stuff added to it, or was just like Pirate Warrior just strong?
Quest Warrior.
I mean, it's just like patch.
Yeah, that's true. Quest Warrior was good for really long time.
Okay. Yeah, during Goro, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, was Hunter good at the start of the year?
Hunter's been bad the entire time.
Wait, Jackie, when has Hunter been good?
Let's remember the last time Hunter was good. Yeah, I can't remember the last time.
Don't you remember? Like, last week's six time?
Yeah, but why doesn't it show up anywhere in here then?
Hunter's in a better spot now than it's been for a while. This expansion has definitely helped Hunter without doubt.
And Hunter was dead before the last two expansions at least.
Yeah.
So how's Hunter?
Like, now Hunter has a 1-mana weapon, but before Hunter didn't have a weapon, besides, like, Eagle Horns, so they couldn't use patches, basically.
Yeah. Shaman, you said, Ali?
Shaman hasn't gotten that much. I mean, it took a hit when they, you know, printed so many freeze cards. Like, imagine if those were good cards, you know?
Yeah. That whole expansion. Yeah,
imagine if those 10 cards were actually good.
Yeah.
No, more like 5 cards. 5 cards are pretty terrible. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I think Shaman ranks pretty low there. I mean, if it wasn't for just Evolve, you know, like just that Doppelgangster Evolve play, like with that, they would be actually.
Wasn't that last year?
I guess
Evolve
does go. Yeah, Evolve does go away, right? Yeah, you're right.
You know what's funny with Evolve Shaman is that I feel like it was a meme deck for a while. You know, like, do you remember people would play Evolve Shaman and...
Dude, I talked about it, like, last December. I remember me and Noxious, I was like, Noxious, this is actually kind of good. Like,
yeah,
nobody, like, literally gives it any credit. And then now it's like, yeah, it was a meme for a while. And now it was just, like, a very strong play, right, for a foundation into Bloodlust. So, you're right about that. It was live for the last year. Okay, yeah, I don't think Shaman got anything, like, to be honest. Like, what did Shaman get? I'm having a hard time. Their quests sucked. Their DKs
was okay.
The Death Knight had a pretty low win percentage. It was, like, one of the worst cards.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, the second worst win rate card in the deck.
Yeah, and then...
what did they get? And Devoid for the worst, but...
Because if you think about the themes that Shaman got, they got Freeze, this last one, they got Murlocs in Ngoro, and we didn't see any of those. Yeah. Like, it hasn't even penetrated the meta at all.
Yeah.
So... What did Shaman get this expansion? Did Shaman get any cards?
Oh,
they got Volcano and Primal Fin Totem. I feel like the only good card they got this expansion was the legendary, but you can't even play that in anything yet.
Yeah, I haven't explored that at all. So, I mean, you know what? Elemental was decent at one point, right? But I don't know. I felt like Rogue was better, anyways, at Elemental. So,
To yeah. be fair, like, this shaman didn't get much because the previous year it was the best yeah, deck, yeah. you know?
That's true.
Like,
that's true.
It's probably a good thing that it's had Payback. Its, you know, its time on the back burner for a little while.
Yeah. I feel like we're not that far from another aggro shaman popping up sometime soon. And
will anything beat Tunnel Trog in a Totem Golem, though? I don't even know.
I mean, that's the thing. Shaman's just missing, like, a good one drop. Like, if Shaman gets given, like, yeah. a good one drop or something, then they got some good aggro tools, so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, Lightning Bolts and Lava Bursts are still a thing, you know?
Yeah. Flame Tongue's still the best card in the game. So.
Yeah. Whoa.
Kappa.
Okay, favorite moments. Favorite moments of the year. So, highlight moments. It could be personal. It could be just general. Hearthstone. Sixa, you want to start us? Like, what's your...
I can't pick one moment because then I get like hate from one of my teammates, so I just go with two. I just go with Hoi and Surrender both winning the HCT split. It was pretty nice to watch.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, it was probably when, like a month or two ago, when I won Game Goon in Spain. Mm-hmm. It was like the first tournament I've ever won, and it was with kind of a kind of meme lineup. So that was a massive deal for me, and it kind of like felt really like, I don't know how I felt really proud. I was like, yes, I've done it. I've won a tournament. I've done it my way. This is what I've been trying to do for so long. And I finally did it. But yeah, that was good.
Awesome. Allie? I mean, you guys have had a big year. I mean, you guys have
It's hard everywhere. To narrow it down. This year has been absolutely incredible for me. I mean, the last like 3 months of my life, like it started off with October Brawl and BlizzCon. And now, I just competing in Seed Story for the first time was really cool. And mm-hmm. took down Colento, feels good, man.
Yes, you did beat Kaybeck. I forgot to mention that. I was meaning to mention that. I totally forgot. Yes, that's awesome.
100% win rate against Colento.
That was off air, unfortunately. Like, that would have been awesome if we would have seen it. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. It's hard for me to pick one moment. It's just been a great year for me.
Yeah, for me, probably BlizzCon. I mean, you know, getting a chance to do Streamer Showdown, not only, I mean, for obviously Hearthstone in the Tavern Trivia, and then Streamer Showdown also for Overwatch too, just before that. It was cool. It's really cool being a part of BlizzCon, you know, like, or, you know, just having something that I've created, you know, be actually part of BlizzCon and part of the actual schedule itself. That's definitely a highlight for me. You know, just kind of like a check mark. I can like, all right, I did that. You know, that's like really, really cool. You know,
check.
Yeah, absolutely. But other than that, maybe generally for the game, anything huge generally for the game? I don't know.
HGG was pretty cool.
Which one?
HGG.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the global games?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Wow, you're like one of the only people I know that has said that it was really cool.
No, I mean, I think the only problem with it, I think it dragged on too long was the problem. Like, if it had been a much shorter event, I think it would have been a lot better because I had a lot of hype at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And if it was like shorter, the hype would have like kept up, but it just kind of dragged on way too long. But I like the kind of idea of it, and hopefully we'll see it again next year and it would be a bit more compact.
One active player in Germany.
I was about to mention that. I was totally going to mention that. Yeah, the German drama in the beginning of HCG was some juicy stuff that we got.
Oh.
But I think you're right. I think HCG had potential. I think that hopefully they'll execute it better this next year. But I guess maybe to kind of piggyback on that, Trinity, you know, I think Trinity's first year was this year, right? Or
yeah, they had two events this year.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe it started last year, I'm not sure.
Did they start last year? I can't remember.
It was not that early this year anyway. It was March, I think, or February.
This year, right? Like the first one, right? Yeah, so
yeah.
Yeah, I think Trinity as an event, you know, it was like one of the first times we saw, you know, team comms. So, you know, that was like, you know, definitely a innovation just in production. And, you know, since then we've seen it like everywhere now. So, but you know, I think that was really, really cool for the community. Just that whole aspect.
I think it's like an awesome format. Mm-hmm. In general, the production, I think, is in the Western scene not very good in Hearthstone. Like Chinese tournaments are like way better production, but like format of Trinity was probably the best format Hearthstone has had so far.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we move on to HCT? You know, there's been a lot of... Yeah, another highlight?
I wanted to say one of the other really good things about this year that I liked was just the whole dual-class arena thing. I thought that was so much fun.
Oh, yeah, so great.
That they do more things like that in the future, because I feel like it really kind of shook up the game for a lot of people, and it was a lot of fun to stream, a lot of people to watch, so...
They just
throw that in there.
Generally, just those one-off things. Yeah, like the dual arenas, the heroic brawls. Heroic brawls.
That's exactly what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, heroic brawls. I think they may have done one last year, but they did one.
The first one was last year. The first one was during Gamescom last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Wild tournament was this year. That was the first time they did that too. So. You know, I think just overall Blizzard has done a good job. As much crap as everybody gives them, you know, like during the year and everything. If you actually take a look back and look at 2017, you know, they did a lot of great things marketing wise, and you know, trying to build the community and you know that sort of thing. You know, definitely kudos.
Yeah, but if they want credits for like the new stuff they print, they have to remove patches first.
Once that happens, I mean, patches is like
now everything's like in the shadow of Mean Streets.
In the shadow of Mean Streets.
Yeah, see, but Mean Streets is 2016, right?
It's actually
like everything now is still like has to compete and like still with Mean Streets. So like, I think like all the expansions that came out since then would be so much better if it wasn't for Mean Streets.
Yeah,
it's actually going to be insane how much the meta will change when these sets rotate out. Like Jades are going to be gone, Kazak is going to be gone, Patches is going to be gone, all the old gods, Nazoth, etc.
Wow.
Like Yshiraj, the meta will just completely change. I can't wait.
Old gods are so played right now.
People play Nazoth and Yshiraj. These are in Big Priest and
I run into all the time. 6-0, come on.
I mean, all the decks we talked about today pretty much don't have any of those cards in them. So, I mean, maybe it won't be as big as we think, but yeah, those cards have been cornerstones the entire year. So. It will be weird not to have it, but it'll be nice not to ever have to talk about them, except for in WoW.
Jeez, man. What a meme.
Jeez, man, what a meme. So 2017, you know, one thing we were talking about, at least before N6O, was just that, you know, 2017, I think HCT still definitely have some of its, has some of its issues, but, you know, they definitely announced the HCT 2018, which improved on a lot of those things that I think were issues. But one thing that was very apparent was that there's just less events this year, right? And I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I mean, was that something that you think Blizzard was trying to accomplish? Or, you know, like trying to get there to be like less tournaments so that there's more focus on HCT? Or do you think there's just less interest in like hosting events and things like that?
Like, I know from tournament organizers that it's harder for them to get a license for events. I feel like Blizzard wants to, like, have more control over it and have, like, their own circuit bigger. So I feel like this year they've, like, kind of cut down on third parties' event to, like, set up their own stuff for next year. So yeah, I feel like this year has been kind of, like, a transition, so there's been less going on.
Yeah, one thing they announced was recently was just the license that you need to even run events coming up in the next year. And this is the one they listed out for all the games, but this is the Hearthstone one. And one thing that you'll notice is that for those that may not have hosted any events before, is any event in the past, I think it was under $10,000. Like, so if you're a $9,999 prize pool or something like that, you didn't actually need a license to like hold in a Hearthstone event for anything like that. Anything above it or anything past a certain total for the year, then you'd have to get like this, you know, just the official license, you know, to host the tournament and use, you know, Hearthstone and everything. But now they've changed it. You actually need a community license for what used to be free, and then now there's a custom license for the big ones. So this is even harder, right? I don't know what the approval process is. Maybe it's easy for community license.
I mean, I think like the ones to do those events already talk with Blizzard, like. It should be easy for ESL to get those, for example.
Yeah,
so like
sure.
ESL, it's like in good terms with Blizzard. So
yeah.
I feel like this might be an issue for like some Chinese events, like WESG maybe, I'm not sure. But for the Western events that do those big tournaments, it shouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, and then there's a sponsor contributions under 10,000 in value. So, okay, that's kind of interesting too. But anyways, yeah. So just in case people didn't know about this announcement, you know, definitely talk to Blizzard, get your license if you want to hold an event. I mean, you're pretty much going to need one these days, and you know, hopefully they're very responsive and quick about it so that it's not too much of a hoop to jump through, even if you want to do one of the smaller ones. Okay, so next up we've got, let's just like 2018. What are you guys looking forward to? Any, you know, I know we didn't get a chance to talk about HTT with you guys since we talked about it with Just Saiyan and Dr. J last week, but anything about HTT that you're looking forward to or anything that we know about like coming up in 2018?
I just like the team ranking. Like, I basically just get like paid a salary only for being teammates with Ryan Surrender. I'm just like chilling with the money.
Really? Nice. Okay, so just, you know, riding their coattails. That's glad you're honest. Glad you're honest. I think you'll be providing plenty of value in terms of team ranking. So, how about you, Jackie and Allie?
Yeah, I mean, like, I kind of want to try hard. I'm excited, and I'm also excited to watch it too. I feel like we've got a fun year of competition ahead of us, and yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
Well, your face lit up when Jackie told you before the stream started that teams get two teams in the team rankings. So
that is news.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's news today, by the way, guys. They announced that you can actually, each team can have two teams representing them in the team rankings, because the team rankings only consist of three players each. And, you know, we currently have some Arsenal teams like F2K that have more than three players, you know, competitive players. So that's definitely going to be nice for those teams.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just definitely looking forward to the year as a whole. Like, I'm going to try and be super competitive in 2018. Like, generally, I've kind of, like, this past year, I've been focusing on my stream, and, like, I enjoy being creative and playing fun stuff, so that's generally what I've been doing. But I want to prove to people that I'm actually good at the game, and so I'm going to be playing, some Zacus Priest, some Jade Druid, some Q Block.
Oh, no!
I'm going to be playing all the meta stuff. And,
should I play Riot?
I'm just perfecting. I'm going to play on multiple servers. I'm going to be going ham. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Wow. That's going to be awesome. Yeah, getting a chance to see Tryhard Jackie and
Tryhard Jackie.
Where's the Tryhard emotes, guys? Yeah. So it's going to be amazing to see that. And yeah, definitely good luck to you. I think if you can work in memes and do well in tournaments, I think that's probably, you know, just
the
recipe
dream.
For like ultimate success. So that should be amazing. Yeah, 2018 for me, I'm definitely looking forward to the reset, kind of like what you were alluding to. I think that's going to be like just really, really huge. And then I don't know. I mean, I think they've just been doing a good job. I just hope, like, with a lot of those things that we were giving him kudos for, that they just continue with that, you know, and keep developing the community. I mean, I definitely I'm always a bit advocate of Blizzard, you know, supporting just the top tier, middle tier, just every tier of the community, you know, and I feel like they've been doing that really, really well recently, and just look forward to seeing more of that in the future, and, you know, maybe esports Hearthstone viewership, hopefully that goes up too. That's one thing I'm hoping for. Yeah, that'd be amazing. Okay, in terms of, you know, we kind of asked for any kind of fan memories and things like that. Actually, I think we might have some kind of Q&A kind of questions too. But one fan memory that by Hockey Boys, he says, well, it's not really a moment of the year. I've been using Hearthstone top decks a lot this year, and I think that Evident, the main guy who runs the website, doesn't get enough credit for what he does. Been running the website and gathering pro decks for the first few days of the expansion. He's been a great part of the Hearthstone community. Okay, so yeah, big shout out to the Hearthstone top decks. Which tools do you guys use? Because I know you use Vicious Syndicate, right? 6-0.
Yeah.
Hearthstone Top Decks is actually my favorite site for theory crafting on. I really like the way it kind of shows the deck list on the side, and I like the layout of it. So kind of just as an expansion is about to come out, that's the site I use for theory crafting. So I actually use that website quite a lot, and I really like it.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, I generally use Vicious Syndicate the most.
Okay. Yeah. I use HS Replays. I've done it like a ton, just because it has all the data there. You know, it doesn't have the graph that you see with Vicious Syndicate. That's just like really quick to look at. But the actual, you know, all the information is there. Hearthstone Deck Tracker is tied directly to HS Replay. It's the same guys. It's the same guys that wrote Hearthstone Deck Tracker. So that's basically, you know, a direct input into that. So, but yeah, I think that's really, really cool. Let me see if there's any Q&A. I think there was. Gosh, if, let me see, buff question here. Okay, here we go. Brenton has a question, and it says, like, I know this topic has been discussed a bit here and there, but I wanted to see, at this point in the game, how you felt about buffs. There have been mechanics in the past that seemed interesting, but cards either cost too much, or their stats were off, or some other factor that made them difficult to play and constructed. I think what he's saying is, like, how do you feel about, like, buffing old cards? Which cards would you like to see buffed?
Blizzard is doing that, right? Like,
yeah.
They're doing it, like, very frequently, just in... They don't buff the card, they just like print the card in a better
print
form
the new
again.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called power creep, right, guys?
Yeah.
It's called power creep?
Yeah.
There's a word for that.
Is there an existing card that has a really cool mechanic that you would wish see was, you know, that
the Hunter
buff?
Quest. Love the Hunter Quest.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if
okay.
that, but then the thing with that is, like, if you buff it, it could become too OP. Like, if it's too easy to complete.
Yeah, I feel like it's too.
Yeah.
I would prefer them to print cards that help make it viable rather than just buff the card. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But his question is, like, think it's a good idea to buff old cards or just kind of print new ones? I mean,
I think he said, like, is it a good idea? And then which ones would you, if you could? You know, like, which cards would you buff? Yeah.
There's some cards in, like, the classic set, like Ironforge Rifleman, that I've always just thought, what is the point in this card? Like, there's no point in this card being in the game because it's never going to be played in any deck. Mm-hmm. And so I have actually always thought this card should be buffed because it's just a pointless card to be in the game. I think there are certain cards in the classic set.
How do you buff that one though? I mean, just it does more damage, like on the battle.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
just or whatever, right? Give it one HP or something. One
yeah, HP? If you make it do two damage, it would probably be actually too strong. So
right?
Maybe like maybe like give it attack or health or something, but yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's any card that has a really cool mechanic that we... There's gotta be a card. I just can't think of it right now. Is there a shaman card, maybe? A shaman card that just doesn't get any play, but it's pretty cool.
Should buff Nostromo to make it 5 seconds.
Which one?
Nostromo to make it 5 seconds. That'd be great.
I feel like a cheaper Nosdormu in general that was, like you said, like a shorter time period, I think that would be fantastic for the game. I actually do. I mean, as stupid as it sounds, like I you know, like you mentioned, like having a different win condition. I think changing the mechanics of the game, like in that way, is really cool too.
No. Just like, thank you. Nostromo shouldn't be in the game. Like,
come on.
Like, actually, just yesterday I saw a card, a thread on Reddit, was like someone said, it's like, this one, like, the country has like very bad internet connection. It usually doesn't matter because if like he has to reconnect seconds later, he can still do his turn.
Okay,
but every time Nostromo is played, he just auto loses.
Yeah, but we have pauses now, right? Like, hopefully we can get pause now, right? And hopefully, actually, we have pauses in Overwatch.
Friendly.
Yeah, what's the point of
friendly, that's what it is.
I just want to watch a video of Life Coach facing into Nosdormu right now.
Oh,
that's exactly
that'd be,
that's the first thing
awesome.
I'm going to do after this.
Or at least create a Nosdormu mode. You know, like it's like speed Hearthstone. Basically.
Oh, that'd be wicked.
Yeah.
They should definitely do a tavern brawl. Like 10 seconds
right.
a turn.
Oh,
yeah,
dude, that'd be
that's
amazing.
A good idea, actually.
Yeah, forget 10 seconds. 5 seconds a turn, dude. Let's go. It's like super fast. That'd be...
Lotheb. Someone said in chat, like, we need another Lotheb. I mean, obviously,
it's not 6 mana, 5/5, but.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What am I saying?
Nobody plays
Unraveler.
What do you think about that card, Zigzo?
Yeah.
Just played in some decks, like in Conquest. I think it was Hoi. He just, like, played it, won a tournament, like, in Cash Cup or whatever. Just playing that in all his aggro decks to like lock out Warlock or whatever. Like, obviously it's a letter card, but I think the card is fine. I think we don't need a card like that with low steps power level right now.
Alright.
Okay.
Fine.
What about I'm gonna probably throw out a very controversial one, but what about Buzzard? What if we made
I would love that.
What if we made Buzzard cheaper again? Like I mean, I don't know if it's a two like a four or mana? A three. No, like a three mana. I should say three mana. Four mana. It's like basically every mana it hasn't been yet, right?
Yeah, I miss like Leeroy, Buzzard Unleash used to be eight mana. Now it's like 14.
It's like 13.
Oh god. Yeah.
But no, I think that's a great shout, Shaman, actually. Mm-hmm. I think Buzzard is one, like, Honor has always struggled with card draw, but the actual Buzzard mechanic of drawing when you summon a beast is a great mechanic for Hunter. Mm-hmm. You don't really care about the body, like how the stats on the Buzzard, but the issue is the mana cost. And the fact that Hunter has like now a lot of death rattles that summon beasts, as well as having Unleash and Alley Cat, and there are loads of things that it could synergize with. Mm-hmm. So I think at like three or four mana, it could actually be a really good card. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, surely Hunter needs something, right? We could still give Hunter something.
That's dangerous, though. Like giving it really good card draw. Like I feel like Hunter is just like that one little way of being so good.
I think it would be very important when I still had Trick Shot, but like now that Hunter has only Kill Command as burn damage, I don't think Cycle would be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they
curve, Cycle's always dangerous when there's like burn to like finish off the game later, but if it's just like value cards, I don't think card was very scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. That'd be pretty interesting. All right, well, let me see. I think that was maybe the last. This is a good question, by the way, Brenton, so thank you for that. And I think that was the last one for this year. So, why don't we kind of wrap up and do some shout-outs for the year. And 6-0, thanks for coming on, man, and congrats again for winning the Seed Story. You're our last event champion, right? There's no other events in the next 2 weeks.
Actually, it's like a mini Sprite tournament. Actually, flying there the day after Christmas.
Oh, damn.
Are you really? Oh, my God.
No Chinese. There's only Chinese X, no English broadcast, but yeah.
Dude, why don't they call you X-God? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Because,
like, you literally live there, man. Like, you were, like, there, like, 3 months out of the year. So that's, you know, I guess you're doing quite well. Like, what's your career earnings from China? It's got to be high, right?
It's like fourth place in WESG and Starladder were each 20k, so that's 40k, and like 11k from the last world tournament.
I think seems good.
Yeah, China's treating you good, man. Keep going. Keep on going. Yeah, I mean, gosh, he deserves an X God. All the Chinese fans out there, throw it out there. I know some people listen, you know, and watch the Valley Town that are you know, translated for all the Chinese folks out there. Let's get this X God thing going.
Just call me like Vivo, because like Vivo is a Chinese phone brand.
Okay.
My name.
Okay.
So yeah, it's awesome. Like I'm called in China.
Right. Well, anyways, any shout outs you want to do before we take off? No? Yes?
Me?
Oh. Yeah, you. Any shout outs you want to do?
No, I'm Gucci.
Okay. All right, Gucci. Cool. Allie, you want to do some shout outs?
A shout out to all of our patrons that allowed us to continue Value Town this year. And also just to Chairman and Jackie, just, you know, doing the show this year. It's been great. And thank you guys for being such awesome hosts and co-hosts and everything. And Fade to Karma, my team. Thanks for sending me to Seed Story. It was an amazing experience. And I love my team. So, yeah.
Jackie.
Yeah, thank you to everyone who's like watched the show and supported the show. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. It's been really fun to do. Thank you to all our patrons who have like supported us, and thank you to Chan Man for being such an awesome host, and all of our guests that have come on every week. It's been it's been really fun.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing, basically. Thank you to, you know, Jackie and Allie for sure. I mean, this year, you know, to coming on the show, you know, midway through, I think it's been a real joy getting a chance to hang out with you guys and you know, just really meet you guys and get to know you guys. So, you know, I think you guys are amazing, and I'm really happy to see that, you know, Blizzard's supporting you guys, you know, in a big way this year. I think that was one of the big things, because, you know, you guys definitely deserve it. 6-0, of course, you know, always a big fan of yours. Even I lurk all the time, like, if you're streaming, and definitely
I haven't streamed in forever.
I know, like, whenever you are streaming though, but you know, in terms of just, you know, rooting for you, and I definitely always want to see the best for you, you know, whenever it comes to events. And everybody watch the Valueton. You know, again, I reiterate, thank you so much to the patrons and everybody that support the show, because you guys are the ones that make it happen. And 2018 will definitely be an interesting year for the show, and there's going to be some changes coming soon, so you will hear about it soon. I'm kind of finalizing some things, and it's going to be exciting. I'm kind of looking forward to it too, so look forward to that in early January. You'll hear some news about that. But as for 2017, that's going to be it, guys, for the show. So for 6-0, Ali Straza, Jackie Chan, and myself, Cham MV, we'll see you next year.
Happy holidays, guys! Our day, but we won't back down. One thing playing on our minds. Long wait, but we won't give up now. You crave the love I gave, and we'll do it again. Champions, the champions of the night. We are the champions of the night.